Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia, and it is the 19th of July 2012. Welcome, listeners around the world, wherever you may be, whether you're in Australia, America, or whether you're in some other intergalactic realm, tuning in via the cyber frequencies. You're very, very welcome to join the show today. My name's Herewood Fenton, and for the next 2 hours, I will be running through a number of very, very important worldwide news stories for you. And in the second hour, I will be conducting an exclusive interview with Meryl Dory of the Australian Vaccination Network. Meryl Dory has been campaigning against the dangers of vaccines for decades here in Australia. She has a very large, very well-established group and an excellent website resource, which is called AVN. That stands for Australian Vaccination Network. The site is avn.org.au. And in the last show last week, we went through the controversy that erupted over Meryl's apparent endorsement of Black Salve, the cancer cure, in a interview with Leon Pittard, who runs another show. Now, of course, Meryl's main focus is vaccines, but she is currently fighting the Therapeutic Goods Administration over their claim that she advertised this cancer cure, whereas in fact, all she did was talk about it, talked about that she'd used it once and found it to be quite effective. And due to the incredibly draconian, incredibly bureaucratic, overarching control systems that we have in Australia, they can interpret that as breaching certain guidelines. Of course, it's completely phony. It's completely ridiculous. And we will, you know, deconstruct that during the interview. However, the main purpose of my interview today is to bring our listeners to be familiar with Meryl's work. And she's very, very well, you know, researched in many questions about vaccines. She helps parents and people who are trying to decide, you know, what they should do, whether they should have a vaccine or not. She's very helpful, and as she puts it, she's simply trying to help people get informed. So that's going to be a really interesting interview in the second hour. So do stay with us for that. Now, for the time being, for the rest of the hour, I'm running through some news stories from our Truth News Twitter feed. And I'd also like to welcome listeners to call in if you'd like to call into the show. Our numbers are in Australia. If you're calling from Australia, you can dial 1-300-153-372. And that is a local call cost anywhere in Australia. And if you're calling from the US, the phone number is 512-646-1984. So I'd love to hear from you if you're listening, if you're driving in your car, and you want to drop in a few comments, if you've got anything relevant to the topics I'm bringing up, or indeed anything that you would like to say, I'm more than welcome to have a chat with you. So let's now move on with some of the major news topics for today. I want to talk a bit about what's going on in Australia, and particularly in my city, in Sydney. We've had, we've had wave after wave of draconian changes to policing based on the public perception of violence. I mean, we've had a raft of legislations go through that ban motorcycle gangs because certain motorcycle gangs were engaged in violence, and this is the typical kind of knee-jerk reaction that we get in this kind of acceleration towards a completely completely controlled nanny state, is that every time something happens, we get a response to it. But the responses become more and more over the top. So we had, you know, in the response to some violent biker gang confrontations, we had the police effectively banning gangs. But I mean, you know, that is actually against human rights. I mean, it is against the basic principles of human rights that people are free to associate with each other. But they decided, well, in this case, we're just simply not going to let these people associate together. And they were walking around pubs and bars, and anyone wearing a tattoo that indicated they were part of a gang could be kicked out of a bar. If they were congregating together, they could be told you're not allowed to congregate together. I mean, it's a complete violation of the basic freedoms that we would expect to have in a democracy. But guess what? You know, the general public goes along with it because people think, well, you know, bikies are violent and violence is bad. So, you know, as long as the government is just targeting those bad people, we don't care. We don't, we'll just allow certain basic, essential features of a free society to be rolled back because we think those people are bad. Of course, we saw that with terrorism too in the wake of 9/11 and the London tube bombings and various other trumped up conspiracies that we saw in Australia. We saw new laws being passed that allow the police to simply detain without charge indefinitely. And, that was brought in because they said, well, you know, these are bad people. And when we've got bad people, we have to, you know, we can't follow the normal guidelines. Sorry. You know, we just have to be able to lock people up. And anyway, it's now moved into the next stage. There was a killing occurred in King's Cross, which is a very busy and rather sleazy area of Sydney last week. And a young man was punched and killed, like a massive sort of blow to the head, and died as a result of it. But, of course, these types of things happen in a big city all the time. I mean, you know, every week or so, this type of thing is happening somewhere. You know, a city of 4 million people, it's not a trivial size city. But in this case, the media decided to make a huge kind of PR stunt over it. And the message that they're now giving us is that we've got to crack down, not just on the violence specifically, but we've got to crack down on the behaviours associated with the violence. And I'll just read to you here from a couple of recent articles that have popped up. There's been huge town hall meetings over this. The media's gone crazy with it. It's been like on the front page of all the newspapers for the past 5 days. I mean, one person was killed. I mean, really, people do get killed every day in a big city. But this is being targeted to bring in some new levels of fascistic nanny state legislation. The New South Wales government has launched a sweeping investigation into every bar and club in Sydney's King's Cross in an effort to tackle alcohol-fuelled violence. There has been a public outcry, and I would say, well, actually, it's a media outcry, but of course, who can tell the difference? Because we look to the media to tell us what is really going on. So as it says here, this is an article from abc.net.au. There has been a public outcry over the death of 18-year-old Thomas Kelly, who was killed after being hit walking down a King's Cross street earlier this month. Hundreds of people crammed into the Sydney Town Hall last night to debate the issue with a panel including politicians, police, crime experts, and liquor industry representatives. New South Wales Police Assistant Commissioner Mark Murdoch told the forum that now is the time to fix the city's alcohol addiction. I'm going to cut straight to the chase and not muck around. It's the abuse and availability of alcohol, and that is the problem, he said to applause from the crowd. Drugs are certainly an issue, and they have been historically. So what we're seeing here is now, I mean, we're moving towards a form of government regulation to the point of prohibition. This is we're moving into a phase of governance where everything is to be controlled, everything is to be regulated. Now, of course, the violence does occur, and there's nothing I hate more than being around a bunch of drunken idiots on a Friday night. It's not pleasant. But what's actually happened is that as our society has deteriorated, as the quality of life has deteriorated, as the standard of living have dropped while the micro-thin elite layer of our society has got much, much richer, what's happened is that this type of violence has increased and people's lives have become far more empty and people are becoming far more sort of animalistic in their behaviours. And I think that's also a contributor to that is the vast amount of pharmaceutical drugs that are being pumped into people, combining that with alcohol, combining that with a sense of the loss of dignity of people in a globalized society that we have in Australia, where really all of the work is going overseas. You know, in real time, you can just see jobs vanishing from Australia, going overseas, going to places where they pay about 1/5 to 1/10 of the rate they pay here. People can't compete. They fall into lower and lower income brackets. We don't have officially a high unemployment rate, but what we have is very low grade employment. At the same time, we have a massive increase in taxation. Of course, we saw the carbon tax rolled into this country in the last month. Another thing that we've seen in the media in the last week, trumpeted on all the newspapers, is that the consumption tax, the GST, is to be increased. And they're saying, well, we have to increase that in order to pay people's pensions. But at the same time as saying that, they're putting the pension age back. So it's gone from 65 to 66 to 67, I think. And, you know, another decade will go by and they'll put the pension age back further. So people's incomes are dropping, their quality of life is going down, their jobs are going overseas, they're on who knows what cocktails of big pharma medication, and they're going out and they're getting plastered on Friday and Saturday nights, and guess what? There's violence. And the response to that from the nanny state fascist infrastructure is more power to the police, more control, more restrictions. It's a kind of a snowball effect, and it's really, really hard to address. We're in a very, very difficult situation here in Australia, and I know it's not radically different to what we're seeing in other parts of the Western world. We're in a very, very difficult position. People's quality of mind has deteriorated. People's ability to think clearly, people's ability to be real citizens in a democracy has deteriorated. So in some ways, the draconian police solution seems appropriate. People act like animals, we'll treat them like animals. And that's essentially what the police are saying. Well, animals or children, we're just going to treat people, we're going to basically treat them as if they don't have any rights because they don't act as if they deserve to have rights. So you're with Truth News Australia. Do stay with us. We're just going to break and we'll be rolling through a lot more news stories in the next 45 minutes. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It is great to be with you today. We are running through some news stories from our Twitter feed here on Truth News. And if you'd like to look at some of our news stories, just go to truthnews.com.au and have a look at the Twitter feeds. You can have a look at some of our articles on the website as well. I've got a new most popular section on the website. And there's actually been quite a bit of discussion on the site recently in relation to some articles that I have actually posted on there. And one of them is an article which I know a lot of people feel very strongly about. The title of it is Contrails Dissipate Quickly, Whereas Chemtrails Linger. And I'm a bit of a skeptic on the, I guess, mainstream alternative view of chemtrails, because I think there is a lack of proper research, a lack of solid evidence in regard to the claims made in movies like What in the World Are They Spraying, and the people who say, well, every time they look up in the sky and see a white trail, they say, well, you know, we're being sprayed. And I mean, I did my own research on it, and I found a voluminous amount of information that indicates that aircraft have and always have had the tendency to produce contrails in atmospheric conditions that support that. It's due to humidity and temperature. And there's a number of resources you can find on the internet which will explain why it is that an aircraft exhaust will sometimes leave a contrail, sometimes it won't. Sometimes it will leave a short contrail, other times it will leave a longer contrail, and at other times, due to the actual humidity and temperature factors, that contrail will start to feather out and form a cloud. And this is all perfectly explained by meteorological science and physics. Now, of course, the people who are these strong proponents of, you know, they're spraying us, say, well, yeah, but, you know, there's patents for geoengineering, and we know that they've talked about putting sulfur dioxide and various agents into the atmosphere to reflect sunlight to fend off global warming. We know they've talked about that. So, you know, here's proof that they're already doing it. See, I think that's faulty logic. I think it's circular logic, and it certainly doesn't constitute evidence. Just because someone's talked about doing something doesn't mean they've already done it. On the other hand, I'm totally supportive of people investigating this, but they need to investigate it in a way that actually can provide solid evidence. Simply looking up into the sky and seeing a white trail and going, ah, they're spraying us, is not good enough. And unfortunately, the vast majority of people who are, I guess, not inclined to be conspiratorial in their thinking simply find this proposition utterly absurd. And of course, people find propositions that vaccines are dangerous utterly absurd, and they find propositions that 9/11 was an inside job utterly absurd. So I, of course, don't simply use the fact that many people find it absurd as a reason not to believe it. It's just that when you do have an issue like this, you do have to advance good, solid evidence. So I do encourage you to have a look at that article on my website, on truthnews.com.au, in the most popular section there, right at the top of the page. And you'll see that there was a lot of discussion there. A number of pilots joined the discussion. And we've got some hardline chemtrails activists on there. We've got some pilots on there. And it's actually turned into quite an interesting debate. And one of the pilots on there is actually participating in an investigation because he's actually a 747 pilot, and he's trying to clear it up because he feels that he's being unfairly vilified for, you know, poisoning the environment. Whereas he says, look, this is a natural phenomenon. And just a couple of things to point out against what a lot of people do believe about contrails is that aircraft contrails have been visible for many decades, going back to the Second World War. And you'll see in that article that I posted a photograph that was taken during the Second World War. And there are dozens of these photographs you can find on the internet that show aircraft of that time leaving very, very large, very significant contrails. And the other point to make is that, as I mentioned earlier, is that normal contrails do linger sometimes. The idea put forward that normal contrails always dissipate quickly is actually a furphy, and it really does need to be debunked. So, and you're very welcome to call in if you strongly disagree with what I'm saying, and we can have a chat about it. I'm really looking forward to getting a pilot onto the show to talk about this because I know it's an important topic. So just moving on now with some other Truth News topics. Chappelle Corby Support Group has lodged an appeal to get access to secret AFP information. Now, Chappelle Corby, of course, for those who don't know, is an Australian who is in prison in Bali in Indonesia, having been convicted of importing cannabis into Indonesia, which is a virtually unheard of sort of vector for the importation of cannabis, because it is about at least 10 times cheaper in Indonesia than it is here. If you had cannabis in Australia, why would you import it into Indonesia? You'd sell it here. You'd make the amount she had. She would have made about $60,000 out of it at a conservative estimate. In Indonesia, she would have made about $6,000. Anyway, the case of Chappelle Corby is an extremely complex one. We've discussed it many times on this show. The Australian Federal Police are deeply implicated in covering up aspects of her case that could have exonerated her. They are also implicated in covering up aspects of drug trafficking in Australia that was being used by the airport baggage handlers who were connected to drug cartels, that they knew about this. And this information would have had an explosive effect on Chappelle Corby's trial. She probably would have had to have been released simply on reasonable doubt had the Australians made that information available to the Indonesian prosecution. They did not. Now, a support group called People for Chappelle Corby has been lobbying the AFP through the Freedom of Information Act to get information on the case. They are refusing to release that information, and they are suppressing it. Now, the reasons they are citing for suppressing this information are, they're saying, well, it's in the national interest, and there would be damage to international relations if this information were released. In other words, Australia's going to look stupid and dishonest for having covered up this information for so many years. Chappelle was in prison in 2004. Now, this information has been floating around. It's been leaked. It's been available but not confirmed for many years. We're now trying to just get it on the table, out in the open. So the group here has approached the Administrative Appeals Tribunal to get a court order to have the information released. And they are actually appealing for donations to help them do that. I think that their court costs are going to be in the vicinity of about $1,400 per day. So they actually are in need of support, actual financial support to do this. I think it's extremely important. I think the total amount they need is about $4,200 to get the Administrative Appeals Tribunal to hear the case. And if you want to find out more about that, you can have a look at ChappelleGate.com and follow the links there. The title of this article is Chappelle Gate Fighting Fund. So let's hope that this makes some progress, because we've seen incredible and really, really important information come out through organizations like the Expendable Project, which was actually an international group of researchers who put together all of the information they could. They made a little film about it, and it documents the government cover-up. It documents the really, really extended network of drug cartels who sort of interpenetrated both the police and the airports, and how during the time in which Chappelle was arrested and charged in Bali, there was just a massive amount of drugs being passed through Australian airports using unwitting passengers as couriers. So an extremely important topic. Do take a look at it. And we'll be right back after the break with more of the same with Truth News. Stay with us.
Selfish goals. punchline, left a punchline, leaving us so.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're moving through the stories that are at the top of the list here for us on this show. A lot of our material tends to relate to Australian issues. I just want to move through some of those issues now. Actually, I've got something here that is of a slightly more larger significance. I want to, and this is of relevance to our next guest who will be coming on in the second hour. There is a new documentary out on the vaccine controversy, and the title is The Greater Good. And this looks like a really well-made, a really excellent documentary feature film. And it looks like it actually does canvass people who stand on both sides of the equation. There's a lot of interviews with mainstream medical people, as well as activists who are against vaccines. I'm just going to actually play to you here the trailer from the film. And I think I'll definitely be trying to get hold of this one myself. It looks really, really worthwhile, and I'd like to actually, if possible, host a screening of it in Sydney. So here we'll just kick off the trailer from The Greater Good.
2 years ago, a vaccine completely changed my life. I would do anything to get my life back to normal.
History teaches us how effective vaccines are.
Vaccines are the best choice for almost all children.
I don't think it's that black and white.
Vaccines in some way have been a victim of their own success.
The government, they're trying to protect society, but these motivations interfere with, you know, safety issues.
In the last three decades, the numbers of doses of vaccines have more than tripled.
We are seeing a rise in the number of children with disabilities.
What if these shots that are supposed to protect kids actually hurt your child?
After the shots, I started getting sick. I've had two strokes, partial paralysis, partial vision, and I'm having seizures.
I would have never dreamt that this was a side effect of a vaccine.
Many of these have the potential to be neurotoxic.
The research is incomplete, and the certainty is not scientific.
A number of prescription drugs that have been licensed as safe have been found to be unsafe.
The social fabric is better to insist on vaccination than to allow free rein.
The people who are approving the vaccines are taking the word of the pharmaceutical companies. The majority of vaccine research is paid for by the vaccine manufacturers themselves.
The only country other than New Zealand that allows advertising on TV for pharmaceutical drugs.
You can't sue the drug company that made the vaccine.
That's not science, that's politics.
Texas Governor Rick Perry has ordered that schoolgirls must get the Gardasil shot.
We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way.
The only thing that we oppose is forced vaccination.
Sadly, some people don't do what's best for their children unless it's mandated.
We're not zealots. We're not some people that are looking for a conspiracy or a fight.
The vaccine program, it's one size fits all.
We worry about the future.
You could have 30, 40, 50 different vaccines mandated and absolutely no accountability. You have a prescription for disaster.
I have a child, and then I follow the rules, and I damage this child. That's hard for me to understand.
I just want everybody to lay down their arms and figure out what is making them so sick.
Show us the science and give us the choice.
Okay, that's from the trailer there for The Greater Good, and you can find out more information about that at www.greatergoodmovie.org. A few things, a few comments I want to make about the vaccine industry and the controversy. This concept of the greater good is one we've seen used over and over again, and I've often referred to it on this show as being kind of a signature of, I continually use the word fascism because it really is fascism. When you look at the history of regimes that have abused human rights and have led to mass deaths, mass incarcerations of people, destruction of entire classes of people. Look at the fascist regimes of Europe in the 1930s. Look at the Soviet Union. Look what happened in China during the Cultural Revolution. Look at Pol Pot's Cambodia, just to name a few examples. They always have as their justification for basically eliminating minorities is that this is for the greater good. So any kind of ill effect that you experience or minorities of people experience is justified because they say the majority is benefiting. But of course, as this type of philosophy really takes hold and as it starts to accelerate, you find that the minorities actually get bigger and they start to be quite large. And, you know, a minority can be like 49% of people, can't it? I mean, the definition of a minority is just, it's less than half. And so you get to a point where vast numbers of people are being abused, are being treated very badly, are being killed. And now we look at the vaccine scenario and we see the argument that we have to accept that some people might be injured by vaccines because millions of people are being protected by vaccines. And this is actually a lot of people are putting forward this argument. And on one level, you could say, well, maybe there is some merit to that argument if it could be really proved that all these people were being protected. So I think there's a few issues here that have to be clearly stepped through and clearly proven. And I'm actually, in the following hour with Meryl Dorey, I'm going to be stepping through several key questions. Now, one of them is the efficacy of vaccines. You know, do vaccines actually work? Do they do what the manufacturers and the medical authorities say they do? The second question we have to address is how safe are they? You know, we have to face up to the safety issue and not brush it under the carpet. And that's actually what tends to happen, especially in Australia, where there are no vaccine courts like they have in the US. If your child is injured from a vaccine, and this happens all the time, you know, parents take their child to the doctor for the regular shot. And the doctor just says, yeah, look, yeah, they need to get this or that. You know, they get the shot, come home, they get a high temperature, they get febrile convulsions. This happens a lot. Now, a lot of the time that happens and there are no further adverse effects, but that's bad enough. A lot of people are calling up when that happens and saying, look, my child's having febrile convulsions. They're told, oh, don't worry about it. It's just a normal thing. Kids get that. Don't worry about it. Nothing to do with the vaccine. But it will happen within 2 or 3 hours of getting the shots. And it's a clear denial. It's a clear dishonesty on the part. And it seems to be built in. It seems to be systemic within the hospitals, within the medical authorities, within the people, like even just the nurse on the phone, because they're just all told, oh, now if someone calls in about that, don't respond to that. They're all being told. They're all given talking points. But, you know, a parent has a natural understanding of what's going on. If a kid goes to the doctor, gets a shot and gets violently ill a couple of hours later, of course it was the vaccine that caused it, but they don't admit it. Now, this is happening on a vast scale every year. I mean, this is happening to thousands, hundreds. We don't really know because most of it isn't even being reported, right? But then there's a smaller group that actually go beyond that to actually have permanent damage. Sometimes they become very ill. Sometimes they go into a degenerative state, which becomes autism. And this is very common. Now it's like the rate, something like 1 in 100. I mean, the rate of autism in our society has increased astronomically over the past 20 or 30 years, along with the increase in the number of vaccines that kids are getting. Now, parents whose children suffer serious injury often then, you know, take it to the next step and they try to get it addressed. They try to get compensation, and typically they're blocked. They just say, no, vaccine had nothing to do with it. It was just a coincidence. These things happen. And of course, we saw this sustained campaign against Andrew Wakefield, who had done very credible scientific research, which has not been refuted, that showed the direct link between the MMR vaccine and autism. And his research was very meticulous. But he was then discredited by journalists in the pay of global media cartels, discredited in a way to make it look like he was using bad practices. And the medical integrity, the General Medical Council cancelled his medical license because they said, oh, he shouldn't have taken blood samples at a children's birthday party. Well, he was working on a very low budget in very difficult conditions, but his research was not refuted. I'll continue with this after the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Do stay with us. It's an important topic. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Herewood Fenton. It's excellent to be with you today. At the top of the next hour, I have Merrill Dorey, the webmaster and CEO of avn.org.au, an organisation here in Australia that provides information on vaccines. And we're going to be going through Merrill's views and also some of her trials and ordeals with the government government and the big corporations behind it, the big pharma, desperate to shut her down. And while we're on the subject of big pharma, I'd just like to mention a great interview I saw just last night on the InfoWars program there with Mike Adams of a insider with GlaxoSmithKline. A lot of listeners are probably very familiar with that, but if you haven't managed to catch it, it's a really important interview. The guy was a drug rep for GlaxoSmithKline, and some of the things that that he reveals in this interview is that, for example, the drug companies have thousands. I mean, in the case of GlaxoSmithKline, there were about 50,000 doctors they had kind of on the payroll that were being sent out to give lectures to various groups. They were either like lobbying medical authorities, hospitals, little mini conferences that were set up. It's kind of it's basically a marketing exercise. But what they do is that doctors who are prescribing the drugs that are manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline are kind of put on the gravy train, you know. And like two of the drugs that have been the target of the major lawsuit, which ended up being the most expensive payout in medical history, $3 billion was the final figure that GlaxoSmithKline had to pay out. The particular drugs that was associated with, which were being heavily promoted by the guy on the interview, and I just don't have the names up right in front of me at the moment, but the two drugs were Paxil and Wellbutrin, and those were extremely heavily marketed by the drug reps. And I've just got the name of the man who was interviewed. His name is Blair Hamrick, and he's talking to Mike Adams there on the Prison Planet radio show. Now, it turns out that the drug reps were actually encouraging doctors to prescribe drugs like Paxil, which was only recommended for adults, to children. And they were basically saying, look, You got to step outside the boundaries a little here. You know, this drug, you know, is actually good for kids too. You know, why not put a 5-year-old on it? And it's completely against even the guidelines, even against what the FDA had approved. But this is the kind of level of just absolute gutter level that the massive global drug cartels have now reached in trying to sell their drugs into the community. So they've got, on the one hand, they've got doctors who are being paid very handsomely to do these little junkets where they go around doing talks and lectures, and that keeps them prescribing the GlaxoSmithKline drugs. Then we've got the drug reps who are very, very smooth, very well-spoken, who are buttering up the doctors, telling them, hey, you know, why don't you prescribe Paxil for 5-year-olds? You know, why not? And Wellbutrin, another antidepressant, they were saying it helps people lose weight. Yeah, so like, you know, why not if someone's a little obese and they seem a little bit down? I mean, they're talking to probably GPs here, like, because GPs are handing this stuff out. We're not talking about medical specialists, right? So if someone comes to the doctor and, you know, they look a bit down, they're a bit fat, you say, well, here's a drug that can keep you happy and horny and skinny. The third component there, horny, is that the particular drug that they were marketing there, one of its attributes was that it didn't have the libido-suppressing effects of some of the other well-known SSRI drugs. So they are actually using this moniker. They were saying, you know, Wellbutrin will keep your patients happy, horny, and skinny. I mean, this is the kind of like level of discourse that we're getting from these supposedly hallowed institutions whose job it is to protect, you know, public health, who are supposedly regulated by unimaginable, you know, levels of careful government testing, government regulation, double blind tests, all this incredibly, you know, complex apparatus to make sure that the customer is protected and we only get the very, very best drugs. Meanwhile, you know, the drug rep is saying, well, you know, it may be a drug for depression, but gee, it'll help people lose weight. Why not give it to them for that? Why not give it to kids? It'll keep people, you know, keep their libido up. I mean, it's all just turned into a kind of a game, but it's a game that makes a lot of money for these organizations. But again, it's a game that is also deeply, deeply dishonest. And I mean, let's just focus on this question of dishonesty, because I really think that is the key to understanding it. And until people realize the degree to which they are being lied to by the authorities and every link in the chain, they will not understand, and they will continue to take the pills. They will continue to do as they're told. They don't realize that they are being lied to in a grotesque and quite blatant way. And we can refer back to the vaccine question here again, because with the vaccines, we are told, A, you know, they're effective, whereas in fact, the proof of their effectiveness has never been clearly demonstrated. There is a real lack of verifiable scientific method testing that indicates the efficacy of most vaccines. I would say all vaccines, but I mean, you really have to focus on one at a time. Then there is the tendency to deny or dismiss evidence that the vaccines are actually hurting people. So again, there is another layer of dishonesty there, where they simply don't admit that this medicine hurt all these people. Why not? I mean, why not admit it? If the medicine really does work and it really is for the greater good, then why not admit that, yes, this number of people was injured by it, and compensate them appropriately? I'll tell you why. Because the number of people they would be compensating would be so vast they would go broke. Because it's not just a small number. It's an unknown number. And it's unknown because they suppress the information. They suppress people talking about it. They don't acknowledge it. When the parent calls up and says, my kid's having convulsions, they say, well, you know, that happens, get over it, kids have convulsions. That's what they're told. So we don't really know. But if I certainly believe that if the truth came out about how many people were being injured by vaccines, the compensation claims would be so huge that the vaccine manufacturers would go broke. So they can't let that information out. Same goes with the big pharma medication across the board. I mean, particularly though in the area of psychiatric medications, which we've seen had massive side effect problems, and in the case of antidepressants, many of them actually inducing suicide. And this was actually even acknowledged. It was even acknowledged in testing. It was acknowledged in the FDA, and that's why some of these SSRIs were not recommended for use in children or even adolescents, because it was associated with a higher than normal suicide rate. So we don't know what the true death toll, what the true injury rate there is of all the people who are inappropriately put on these drugs. We just don't know, because again, that was not recorded. If this information did come out, it would be more, vastly more than a $3 billion fine. It would be enough to put the drug companies out of business. So it's essential to their strategy to keep us deceived. So deception is part of the mix that we have with this government corporate control grid that's tied into a monopolistic so-called capitalistic free market. Of course, it's not a free market at all. They call it a free market, but you know, there's only a few major players who control everything, and they price fix between them. They're controlling the market. They're controlling the flow of information that you get. They're also limiting your freedom of choice, even to the extent of government regulation trying to force people to take certain medications. We've got government programs trying to force people to go on to psychiatric medications, and they're saying that's an early preventative cure. We've got major organizations in Australia like GetUp, which is a so-called grassroots activist organization, promoting this early intervention in psychiatry, where they basically put kids on very powerful psychoactive medications in a preventative sense, because they might be at risk of psychosis. We've got women who are HIV positive being put on very, very toxic anti-AIDS medications, even when they're pregnant. We've got pregnant women being given the swine flu vaccine. I mean, that's just a taste of the sort of thing that's going on. And we're seeing huge injuries and huge problems and side effects with all these things. The government just comes in with more regulation. We have to do this. And then they bring in this greater good thing. The greater good thing is simply an argument, a very shallow, very pathetic argument that actually does work with a lot of people, because people are susceptible to it. Greater good, they think, oh yes, we all have to sacrifice. We all have to, you know, sacrifice for the greater good. It's sort of indoctrinated in us, maybe through many generations of sort of Christian Protestant, some sort of belief that we have to sacrifice for the greater good. In a way, it's true, we do, but they're just misusing it. They're actually just using it against us to actually hurt us and exploit us. So in the next segment, I'll be with Meryl Dorey. We'll be talking about vaccines. You're with Truth News Radio. Don't go away. Great hour coming up.